Well, good morning, and thank you all for letting us come here and share with you this morning. It's really a blessing for Lois and me to be here and share in this worship time this morning. Thank you to the choir and the musicians, and just a reminder that we have peace available to us, even in the midst of the storms of life. So thank you for that reminder. And so I'd like to share a little bit about what God has called us to do. Perhaps you are aware that Lois and I have been missionaries with TEAM, the Evangelical Alliance Mission, for the last almost 40 years. We have served in Latin America, we have served in North America, we have served in Africa, and it's really been a joy to be responsive to God's call in our lives. And what I'd like to share with you this morning is a little bit of how do you know about God's call? Last night, we talked about God's command. What is God's command to his disciples? Let's start a little basic. Back, some people asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Anyone know what the greatest commandment is? Okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is very similar. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. So these two great commandments, love God, love your neighbor, sum up all of the law and prophets, according to Jesus. But then Jesus gave his disciples one more command just before he went to heaven. Remember what that command was? We find it in Matthew 28. Jesus says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus' command was, make disciples. And technically, it's as you are going, make disciples. Right? We discovered a little bit about that in our grammar lesson last night. So if the command is to make disciples, this morning we talked a little bit about how to go about making disciples. We had some tools and we just kind of modeled a way to make disciples. This command is given to all of God's people. Did you get that? The command is for everyone. That command wasn't given just to seminary graduates. It wasn't given just to Bible school students. It wasn't given to professional preachers or professional missionaries. It was given to everyone. As you are going, make disciples. So wherever you go, whether you go down the street here, or whether you go across the mountain, or whether you go across an ocean, you're still, wherever you are going, you're to be making disciples. So the question then comes, all right, well, what about those people who are specially called to make disciples? How do you know if you've been called to make disciples? Well, you have been called, you've actually been commanded to make disciples. But what about this call thing? Everyone says, well, I would go about doing that, but I'm not called. I haven't been called. What is it about a call? And actually, a call is spoken about in Scripture. If you look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Peter writes, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. So Peter says, be sure to make your calling and your election sure. So how do you go about doing that? Because Peter goes on to say, for if you do these things, you will never fall. and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you want to make sure that you don't fall or stumble, and if you really want to receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of the Lord, it's important, Peter says, to make sure of your calling and election. All right. So what is a call? How many of you have cell phones? I remember when I was a kid, we had a party line. We were two longs and a short. And if two long rings and one short rang, then we would pick up the phone. And if it were two shorts and a long, that was somebody else on the party line, we better not lift up the phone and listen, or we'd be in trouble with somebody, probably my parents. And then our phone went to Chichester 113. We had our own phone in our own house. Wow, that was pretty special. There were public phones downtown, and the landline that went into our home with several extensions, one in the living room and one in the upstairs hallway, and maybe one in Dad's office, so we could talk on the phone from anywhere in the house. Wow. Now, most everyone has their own cell phone or smartphone. I have a hands-free in my car so that when I get into my car and a phone call comes in, it just goes through the sound system and I can talk on the phone while I'm still driving. And I better not pick up my phone or I'll be in trouble with the law, right? So I can use my Bluetooth earbuds when I'm riding my bike and listen to the radio or listen to my music on my phone or get a call when I'm out on a bike ride. When a call comes to my cell phone, I know it's for me. Now, what about those robocalls? Those calls from Caroline who wants to talk to you about your credit card? Or maybe it's the new company in town who wants to come out and do a sample of your well water so they can sell you a water softening system. How long do you listen to those? Even if it's a phone call to you, you don't always want to pay all that much attention. So I want to take a look at some of the people who got called in the Bible. I'm going to move back and just talk about Abraham for the moment. Abraham got a call from God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Abraham got a call from God. Get up and move. Leave your comfort zone. And Abraham heard that call, he answered, and he obeyed. He did what the call told him to do. What about Samuel? Samuel was a little boy, and his mom brought him to the tabernacle to serve under the high priest Eli, to learn what it was like to be in ministry. So young Samuel served Eli in the tabernacle. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, "Now the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent visions." People didn't hear from God real often. And so this call from God was, well, kind of unexpected. And so here's Samuel in church, serving in church. He's kind of an apprentice in the tabernacle. And it's the middle of the night, and he hears somebody say, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel, of course, thinks it's Eli calling him. So he jumps out of bed, runs into Eli's room and says, "Here I am. What did you want me for?" And Eli wakes up in the middle of the night to hear Samuel say, "What do you want me?" He said, "I didn't want you. I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel went back to bed. "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel jumps up and runs in to say, "Eli, Eli, here I am. You called me." Eli says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." A third time, Samuel hears, "Samuel, Samuel." And he runs into Eli. "Eli, I'm sure I heard you call me. What is it that you want?" And then Eli figured it out. It says in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 3, "Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Remember, it was a rare thing in those days for somebody to hear the call of God. And it took a few tries before Samuel, with the help of his mentor Eli, before he figured out God was actually calling him. And God spoke to him. Once he said, "Here I am, Lord, I'm listening," the Lord gave him a message that he said, "It's going to make your ears tingle. And the ears of everyone in Israel is going to tingle over this message. It's going to be a tough one." But Samuel heard God's call. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah was an Old Testament man. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, it says, he writes kind of his autobiography, and he says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.'" Wow. God had called Jeremiah even before he was born. And Jeremiah replies, "Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth.'" He was probably a teenager. A young teenager at the time, and God was calling him. You remember maybe Moses arguing with God about, "Here am I, send Aaron." Or maybe Gideon. Gideon, when the angel came to him and said, "Gideon, mighty man of valor." And there was Gideon cowering in the corner of the wine press, hiding from the Midianites. "Mighty man of valor." What? God calls people. He called them in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we hear God calling more. And it's a different kind of call that God gives in the New Testament, because God is right here on earth. Jesus himself is walking around and calling people. He called a number of people. We can see Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Philip, Nathaniel. They were called by God. And what did Jesus say when he wanted to call them? It was a little bit different than God in the Old Testament calling Samuel, Samuel, or Abraham, Abraham. Here Jesus said what? "Follow me." It's a whole different ballgame when you've got somebody to follow. And Jesus said, "Come, follow me." To Peter and Andrew, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," because they were fishers of fish. And God called them in a way that matched who they were and moved them a little bit out of their comfort zone, perhaps, but into something new, but similar. When he spoke to Philip, he said, "Go find your family." And Philip went and brought Nathanael. He said to Matthew, "Come follow me." And Matthew left the money and went and brought Jesus home. And he had a big feast for Jesus and Jesus got in trouble for eating with Matthew, but Matthew followed Jesus. There was another young man who heard the call of Jesus, a rich young ruler, who came to Jesus and said, "Master, how do I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments." And the rich young ruler said, "Well, the commandments, I followed them all my life. I'm a good boy." And Jesus said, "There's one thing you lack. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." And what did that rich young ruler do? He turned away. He didn't follow. He was sad because he had a lot of money. He didn't want to give it up. So when Jesus or God calls, we don't always answer well, do we? Notice that Jesus didn't go chasing after that rich young ruler. We never hear of him again. He made a poor choice when Jesus called him. What about Paul and his company of people? Paul was in the middle of Asia Minor, what is now Turkey, and he was on a very successful missions trip. He was following God's call, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to go into this part of Asia Minor, this part of Bithynia." And the Holy Spirit said, "No, don't go there." And he said, "Okay, I'm going to go over here where I've been before." "No, don't go there." And that night in a vision, he saw a man from Greece saying, "Come over and help us." God's call to Paul and his group of missionaries was to go into a new place, and it changed the course of history because missions now went out of Asia and into Europe, into Greece, and it changed history. But what about the call of God today? What about our call? Let me give you an example. First of all, my call. I was probably around 14 or so, and in a missions conference weekend special time, and the speaker said, "It's time, if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to go in all the way. Everything that you have, all that you are, everything that you hope to be, everything you hope to have, belongs to Jesus. And if you really are serious about answering God's call, you have to make that kind of commitment. All I am, all I have, all I will be, all I hope to be, all I hope to have, it's yours. I commit it to God to go wherever he wants me to, and whenever he wants to go. Along that path, as I committed to follow Jesus, along that path, God used 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 to give me some specific ideas. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "Those things that you've learned from me among faithful witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also." Paul said to Timothy, "You've heard something from me. You have to teach it to others who will then be able to teach it to others." And that was a call to me because I love teaching. From the time I was a young guy, I knew that in order to learn something well, the best way to learn something is to try to teach it to somebody else. And so I found that I loved teaching. And this scripture said to me, "Take the things you've learned, teach them to somebody else, who'll then be able to teach somebody else who can teach others beyond." It's the whole point. That's what we're talking about, making disciples who then make more disciples. So that initial call changed my direction. It was unique. It was tailored to me, to who I am, what I love to do, the skills that God has given to me. And it's developed over the years from teaching high school the fun things in high school, physics and math and, you know, all the good stuff, to being able to teach teachers so that they can do a better job of teaching themselves, and then to being able to help missionaries, cross-cultural workers all around the world do a better job of ministering and sharing the word across cultures. The same call, things I've learned, teaching others who can then teach others. Same call, different application, growing opportunities. But that's not the only way that God calls. Lois has a very different story. So why don't you come and share how it worked for you?
So my call to missions was different than Roger's. It was more of a process, and it came later on in life. When I was young, I loved the Lord, and I wanted to serve the Lord, but not necessarily overseas. So after Roger and I were married, we felt it was important for me to have a call to go, because when things get rough, it's good to know that you are where the Lord wants you to be, and that I'm not blaming it on him, that he's the one that, you know, that got me into that situation. But it was God's call to me. So to back up a little bit, after high school, I went to nursing school in Boston, and thought after that it would be really neat to maybe be a nurse in Appalachia. That was just something that was in the back of my mind. But after nursing school and working for a couple of years, I decided to go to Moody Bible Institute, mainly just to learn about why I believed what I did. I had a faith, but I wasn't necessarily sure about why I believed what I did. So I went out there for 3 years. And while I was at Moody, I always attended the North American Prayer Focus, because I was interested more in North America than going to Africa or Asia. I just figured I'd always be in the U.S. Roger was also at Moody my third year, and that's where we met. And I knew that he had always felt called to missions. And it wasn't that I was against being a missionary. It's just that I never felt a tug in my heart from the Lord to be a missionary. But we both felt that God was calling us to be together, and we wanted to serve him. We just didn't know the where or the how. So after we got married, we decided to go to TEAMS Candidate School in Wheaton, Illinois. And I remember one morning I was out having devotions, and I was thinking, wow, these people are all trying to figure out where in the world the Lord wants them to be, and I don't even know if I want to be there, if I even want to go. And my devotions that morning were in John 15, and verse 16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." And immediately I knew that that was my call, that that's where the Lord wanted me to be. And I can honestly say, after all the years overseas, I've never doubted from that moment that that was where the Lord had called me to be. So my call was more of a process. It was later on in life, but it was confirmed to me through God's word.
Thank you. So it's different for each person. A call is for an individual. It's unique to that individual. It's personal. It applies to that one person. Comes in on your own cell phone, right? God's call is voluntary. You get to pick up the phone and answer. You get to choose whether you respond yes or no to the call. But if you're going to respond yes to the call, you need to be all in. It's total. God's going to call all of you, not just part of you. So what about you? Do you have your ears on? When God calls you, how are you going to answer? Are you listening to God's word when God's word speaks to you? Are you listening to your pastor when your pastor speaks to you? Are you listening to spiritual leaders or mentors in your life? Now, the question is, how are you going to answer? Are you going to say yes, or are you going to just hang up the phone? Are you going to go all in? All that you have, all that you are, all that you ever hope to have or ever hope to be? Will you go all in for the Lord? Jesus is worth it. Paul, at the end of his life, could look back and write to his young son, Timothy. Remember, Timothy's the one he called into ministry. He looked back at his life and he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. How will you answer? God's calling. Pick up the phone. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for knowing us well enough to call us in a personal, unique way that matches our skills, our gifts, our joys, what we love to do. And you want to take that and use it for your glory. Help us to listen and to answer and to go all in for you in response to your call on our life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father, as we go from this place today, help us all to be thinking of those people that we would like to sit down with and just have a time of fellowship and a time of discipleship with. Put someone on our hearts, we pray, that your call might be fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.